Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Shvuos Daf Memches. We are holding at the seventh line off the top of the Amud. Amar Lechanvani, customer approaches grocer with a request. Could you please provide for me, Tainli Bedinar, a dinar worth of fruit, of produce payments? The grocer provides the fruit and then demands payment. Mr. Customer says, I already paid you. It's in your cash register. No, I never got paid. What do we do? The Chachamim require the customer to swear that he made payment. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Tanya, we have a brisa. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. He turns to the Chachamim and he says, "Ei Masai, when does customer have to swear? Bizman Shapiros Tzivurin Umunachin. When the fruit is in no man's land, it's sitting piled in the street, not the grocer has it, nor the customer has it in his possession. Ushneyan and both individuals are fighting about it. Oyder din aleyan. In this case, customer has to affirm that he made payment in order to pick up and take the fruit home. Avaliv shilon bikulpasa le'achorav. However, if customer already has possession of the merchandise, it's already sitting in his sack over his back, meaning he's in possession. In this case, ha'moitze mechaver olav araya. Grocer has to prove his case. You have to prove that you weren't paid. You can't obligate the customer to swear. And Rabbi Yehuda explains, because this is back in the Mishnah, he says typically you would not release merchandise prior to getting paid. The assumption is you were paid already. So in this case, when the customer has it in his possession, the only way you can obligate him to do anything, the only way you can extract payment from him, is by proving that you have yet to get paid. And this applies to merchandise from a grocery. This applies to money from a bank. Amar lo shulchani, tainli. He walks over to the banker. Could you please break down, $100 bill for me? And the same disagreement ensues. Where's my... So he gets the money, and then the banker wants to get his $100 bill. You haven't yet given me that money. Chachamim say, customer has to swear that he paid. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he would never have released that money. Mr. Branko would not have, without payment. So we have the same, machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim recurring, whether it's with respect to a grocery and merchandise or money in a bank. Utsricha, why discuss both identical cases? It seems like just a repetition. The answer is each one carries its own unique lesson. Had we only discussed the first case of the grocer, I would assume bahach ka'amri rabbanon. It's over there, specifically there, that the rabbanon have reason to believe, reason to suspect that perhaps the merchandise had not yet been paid for. Mishum de peri avidi de merakri, because fruit sometimes spoils. And since it has that potential to spoil, it gives us reason to believe that the grocer was eager to release it, to deliver it, even before getting paid for it. So there's a chance that they weren't paid for. Customer, swear that you did pay. Aval mois, but money from the bank doesn't spoil. It stays fresh. Delay marakvi, they don't spoil. In that case, perhaps, they would take on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. They would agree with him. And Mr. Branko would never have released his money without payment. There's no reason to suspect otherwise. No, that's why we mentioned this case as well. Here too, customer must swear that he forwarded the $100 bill to the bank. On the other hand, had we only discussed this second case, I would think, Baha Kamar Rabbi Yehuda. It's only here that Rabbi Yehuda says, chances are, banker has already gotten paid, because why would he release the money otherwise? Aval b'hach. However, in the first case, with the grocery, Ema, Moida, Lula, Rabbanon, perhaps in that case, he would agree to the Rabbanon. He certainly got, there's no firm reason to believe that he got paid. Perhaps he was eager to release the merchandise and has yet to get paid. And he could agree to the Rabbanon that customer has to swear that he paid. Sricha, that's why we discuss both cases. Each one has its own unique properties and the machlekes. Between Rabbi Yehuda, who does not require customer to swear, and the Rabbanon, who do require customer to swear to affirm that he paid, that applies to both cases equally. Mishnah continues, Kashem she'amru ha'pagem es k'sivasa v'chulu v'chena yisoymim le'yiparu. So the Chachamim instituted a special takana to protect the interests of orphans who perhaps are not so familiar with their father's dealings, and in order to avoid a situation where people take advantage of them. If you want to collect a debt from orphans, that, you know, their father's outstanding debt, you have to swear that in fact the debt is outstanding and has yet to be paid. Miman, who are we trying to collect from? Ilem miloive. So Reuben lent Shimon money. And Reuben, the lender, the banker, passed away. His children are now attempting to collect their father's debt from the loive himself, from the original borrower himself, Shimon. Why do they have to swear? Why are they any less able to collect than their father? Avoin shakel b'leishvo. If father would be around, he would collect without swearing. Right? V'inu b'shvo, and they have to swear. Typically, we try to protect, make it easier for orphans, not more difficult. Hachi kama, the Mishnah means like this. Both parents died. Reuben the lender and Shimon the borrower, they both died. And now it's children to children. V'chena yisoymim mina yisoymim. Reuben's kids from Shimon's kids. Lo yiparu el b'shvua. They must make a shvua. The shvua is a shvua's hayisoymim. To say that, look, our father never provided for us any indication that the loan had been paid up. We got no reason to believe it was. So although they don't really have personal, first-hand information, but that's all they have to do. Swear, a shvua sayisayimim, le'yipor el bishvua, which enables them to collect from Shimon's kids. Now, Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tavai, they both say, they add a tremendous strictness here. Achumra, lo'yishanu, when is this so? Reuben's kids will collect from Shimon's kids with a shvuas hayershim, shvuas hayisayimim. That's only Elishameis Malve. That's if sequentially, first, right, Reuben and Shimon both died. The question is, who died first? Malve, Reuben, the banker, died b'chayi loive while Shimon was still around. So Reuben, during his lifetime, was really able to access this money, was able to collect the money directly from Shimon. And then when he died, he transfers that claim, that right to his kids. Okay, so now they take over that claim, they take over that zuchus, just that they have to swear a shvuas hayisoymim, that as far as they know, it's still intact. Okay, so that's the halacha in the Mishnah, aval meis leive. But suppose it happened the other way around. Shimon was the one who died first b'chayei malva during Reuben's lifetime. So at this very point, before anybody else dies, Reuben, if you would like to collect, how does he collect? How does he go about doing that? He confronts Shimon's kids and must swear. But what type of shvua does he swear? This is a personal shvua, a first-hand shvua. I promise that this money is still owed to me. So kvar neschayev malve, livnei loive shvua. The malve, Reuven, is obligated to swear to Shimon's kids a first-hand personal affirmation that this loan is outstanding, because he knows it first-hand, it's his loan. Problem is, when he dies, when Reuven now dies, his kids can't pick up where he left off, because they can't swear a first-hand oath. They don't know first-hand. At most, they can speak second-hand. Well, we were not informed by our father that this thing was paid up. As far as we know, right? He told us it's outstanding. That's a second-hand oath. That's not personal. That's a shvuas hayershim. So since they can't really duplicate father's shvua, they can't really carry out his personal obligation. They can't really step into his shoes. So they cannot collect this money. Ve'ein adam meirish. One cannot pass on money, which can only be accessed through a personal shvua, levanav to his kids, who can't do that shvua. They can merely do a shvuas hayarshim, which is a second-hand shvua. So a big chiddush, according to Rabbi Shmuel, in a case of Yusaimim from Yusaimim, if it happened this way, Levi will die first, in which case the Malva was obligated to swear firsthand, that cannot be transferred to his kids. So it's a chiddush because basically this money cannot be collected. If you can't swear, you can't collect. So the Bnei Yeshiva sent this point to Rabbi Lezer to sort of challenge Rabbi Shmuel's chiddush. Shalcho kamei Rabbi Lezer. Shvuah zu mativa. This shvuah that we're talking about, how could it, this shvuah that the father was meant to do, how could it bring about loss to his kids? How could it prevent them from collecting? Yeah, sure, he should have sworn firsthand, but he's not around. So let's just ignore that and allow the kids to collect with a shvuas hayarshin. So in fact, he concurred with them. Shalach lehu, Rabbi Lezer responded, k'yarshin nishboin shvuas yarshin v'noitlin, done deal. I agree with you. I disagree with Rabbi Shmuel. All the kids have to do is do a shvuas hayarshin, a second-hand shvuah, and collect. Shalchu b'mi Rabbi Ami. So the Bnei Yeshiva once again petitioned in the time of Rabbi Ami, which was later. And again, they were sort of questioning Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Why is it that they lose the money? Omar, so he responded in jest. He says, Kuli hai sholchali, sholchala va'azli. They're sending to me over and over again. They're sent it once by the time of Rabbi Lazar, once again in my days. What's the point, of repeating the same point and the same question? Sure thing. If I would have had a way to explain, I would have already responded. I would have sent you a nice letter, a nice teshuva. Yeah, shechina ba tama. If there was any way for me to explain Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, miloy shalchina lehu. Don't they think I would have responded in kind? So basically, I have nothing to say. But, however, says Rabbi Ami, I want to strike a compromise here. I'm not going to accept, Rabbi Shmuel completely, nor Rabbi Lezer completely. Elam Rabbi Ami. Once the topic is being discussed here, once we're on it, I'd like to contribute something on this topic and strike sort of a middle ground. So Shimon died first while Reuben is alive. So it depends. Amad b'din umeis. If he initiated a court proceeding, a din Torah, to collect his money, he's starting the collection process. And at that point, he is now obligated to swear to the kids of Shimon, which is a personal shvuah, first-hand shvuah. And now if he died, umeis, now Reuben died as well. In this case, kids cannot take that over, because kvar nischayv malva, livnei levi shvuah. Because once he entered the legal realm, and once he initiated this collection process in the bezdin, it's like this shvua was imposed upon him. He was obligated to swear to the kids of the Leiva. And again, it's a first-hand shvua. Karan eschayv malva v'nei Leiva, a first-hand shvua. And if he dies now, kids can't pick up where he left off. V'ein adam meirish shvua levanav, because the kids cannot duplicate that first-hand shvua. However, lo yamid b'din, suppose Reuben had not yet initiated a collection process. He had not yet approached the Bezdin. So at this point, there was no formal imposition of shvuah upon him. It wasn't yet activated. So now if he dies, umeis, no problem for the kids, for the yarshin, to just swear a shvuas hayarshin, nishboin shvuas yarshin to Shimon's kids, and v'noitlin collect. Maskal Rav Nachman. Why is the bezdin a factor here? Either the lender is obligated to swear to the kids, a first-hand shvuah which cannot be transferred to his kids, or he's not chayiv. What has bezdin got to do with anything? Is it the Bezdin? It's obligating him to swear? That first-hand shvuah which cannot be transferred? It's unrelated to the Bezdin, to the collection process. As soon as Shimon died. Ichayev le malve livnei le vishvua. That in itself already triggers. It activated this chiyuv shvua between Reuven and the kids of the Leiva, which is a first-hand shvua, and that cannot be transferred to the kids. Elam Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman, I'm not going to go along with this sort of compromise. It's either or. Either they collect all the way or nothing. If we should adopt Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, if that's the correct approach, Issa. That's the way it is. No collection whatsoever. Ilesa. If we don't adopt Rabbi Shmuel, Lesa, then we don't adhere to that, which means that the kids have a right to collect in full. So Rav Nachman apparently was not sure which way to go. Amar Mesap Galei. Really? He wasn't sure? V'amar Rav Yosef, v'amar Yumi. Yesterday we had a quote from Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman, Uvda, Rav Nachman himself. Paskin the Halacha. In this type of case, where we're sort of in a stalemate. So actually that was connected to yesterday where both people were chashud, right? He couldn't swear because he was known to be a dishonest man and so his opponent. So in that case, we're sort of in a stalemate. Rav Yossi said that he split the money. Rameir says the shvul goes back to its makim. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, it meant that there's no collection available, it's a stalemate. Now, our situation is very similar, because we're sort of in a stalemate, we can't proceed, because they're meant to swear, and they can't really swear, they don't have the ability to swear firsthand, and right, etc. So, in such a type of situation, Avad Rav Nachman Uvda Yachloiku, Rav Nachman carried out a Yachloiku verdict, split the money. And here he seems to not be so sure of how to proceed in his stalemate. Answers the Gemara, Rav Nachman's personal opinion was to say Yachleiku like Rav Yosi's Shita in the Mishnah. Over here where he wasn't certain how to proceed, that's going like Rav Meir, L'dvarav the Rav Meir Kamar, he was relating to Rav Meir's Shita, who has a different approach on these types of situations, on these types of stalemate situations. But it wasn't his personal opinion. So in terms of Rav Meir's approach, who does not hold of Yachloiku, so which way do we go? Rav Nachman says, I'm not sure. Whether we go like Rabbi Shmuel and there's no collection allowed whatsoever, according to Rabbi Lezer, as long as they make a Shvuas HaYershin, they can collect. Here come a couple of questions, kashyas, on Rabbi Shmuel. Again, what did Rabbi Shmuel say? That once the principal player was required to make a personal first-hand shvua to collect from Yisoyimim. Once he passes away, kids can't take up where he left off because they cannot duplicate that obligation. They can't swear first-hand. At most, they can swear as a shvua's hayarish. So we're in a stalemate. There's no collection. Masav Rav Isha. Here comes Akasha from Mishnah Meseches Ksubos. So Reuben passed away. His wife's around. She'd like to collect her ksuba payment. Lach is Mesa. She now passes away. Yerusha, her kids can collect, but up until 25 years. Maskirnas Ksvasa, they could mention and sort of collect a ksuba. Ad Eshrim v'chameshan, until 25 years are up. The Gemara discusses why 25 years. So again, what happened? Reuben died. His wife was around. In order for her to collect from the Yisayim, she would have to swear firsthand type of shvua. Mishnah says, even if she dies, her kids can pick up where she left off. Apparently, you can transfer this type of collection right. Hachab Maiskinen was speaking Shenishba Omeisa. And in fact, she swore during her lifetime to the kids a first-hand shvua. So once that's been taken care of, now, of course, if she dies, kids can just carry out that claim and collect it. That's not an issue. Here comes another similar kasha with the same type of teret, Tashma, Nasari Shaina. Reuben married Rachel, his first wife, Umesa, and she died. Nasashnia. Then he married Leah, Umesu, and he died first. So now she's a widow. And she can collect from his kids. She would have to swear firsthand, but she can collect. What happens if she now dies? So Shnia, so Leah herself, if she's around, or her kids, if she's not around, Yosheha, can collect from Reuben's kids? Koidman, Leosha, Rishon, and actually they get priority over Rachel's kids because Rachel's kids are only coming to collect the Yerusha. But Leah's kids are obligated, they're entitled to realize their Ksuba claim. That comes first. One is meant to pay off his obligations before the Yerusha is distributed. So they get priority. But in any case, we see that even though he died first, so she was chayef to swear to his kids, and then she died, that gets transferred to her kids. They can swear Shvus HaYershin and collect. It's a kasha on Shmuel who doesn't allow it. Achanami here as well was speaking Shanish Bamei, so she already swore during her lifetime that first-hand personal Shvuah that cleared the record, cleared the path for her kids who come behind her to collect the money. Tashma, here comes another kasha. So this fellow had committed in writing to his wife, I'm not going to harass you if there's any issue of disagreement. I can't make you swear to affirm that you're owed the money of the ksuba, etc. So he has to abide by that agreement. Aval. But let's say, okay, so he died first. Yershav mashbein oisa ves yershia ves abayim b'shusa. So let's say he died first. So now she'd like to collect her ksuba. So although he himself, the husband himself, was committed to this agreement, he can't harass her, but his kids could. His kids could demand that either she or her kids, which follow her, would have to swear a shvuah that they were not paid up. So again we see, we seem to think that he died first, and she's a widow. She can only collect by way of making that first-hand personal shvuah to the kids. And now if she dies, her kids can pick up where she left off. So clearly you can hand that over to the kids. Tashma, val Yoshav, mashbein oisa. His kids can enswear her. So now she's mechiv to shvuah to the kids, first-hand shvuah, personal shvuah. Ves Yoshia. And likewise, her kids are obligated to swear. Ves Abayim Rishusa. All those who come, agents, the rights to her ksuba collection to a customer, so he'll have to swear to confirm that the debt is still outstanding. It's a kasha on Shmuel who says that a personal shvuah cannot be handed down to the kids. Amar Av Shmaya, let's daven katani. That's not what happened in this case. The Mishnah here is speaking about two different cases. So first it speaks about Oysa, Balmana. Reuben died first. She's an Almana. So Reuben's kids can unswear her, which means to say she has to swear to the kids before she collects. Okay, why not? First-hand Shvuah, personal Shvuah, the money's owed to me. The next word of the Mishnah, V'yarsheha, that's not going on the same case, because it wouldn't be so. Once she dies at this point, the kids can't pick up where she left off, because they can only do a shvuah hayershim, a second-hand shvuah. Rather, we're speaking about a different case. Yerusha, that case is speaking begrusha. Totally different case. She was divorced. Reuben is still alive, alive and well. And now she died. Her kids, in order to collect their mother ksuba, will have to claim with a shvuah against the husband, and in fact the debt is still outstanding. So we're not speaking about a first-hand shvuah which was delegated to second-hand. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about two different cases. In which case, it's not a kasha on Shmuel. Masiv Rav Nosan Bar Oishir. We have a new kasha. So we have the Abraisa, Meseches Chulin, Yofa Koicha Ben Mekoicha Av. At times, the son could be stronger than the father in terms of his collection rights. So the son of the banker can be stronger than the banker himself with respect to collecting from the Yerushim. How? Shaben goyve beim b'shvuah ubeim shle b'shvuah. So the banker lent money to Shimon. Shimon died. There are Yerushim now. Halacha is swear to collect, right? So now the son of the banker sometimes requires a shvuah to collect from the borrower's kids, and sometimes not. We'll see in a minute when and where. Shaben goyve ben b'shvuah. At times he has to swear to the other yarshim. Uben shle b'shvuah. Sometimes he doesn't. Va'av, but the father himself, meaning the banker himself, only has one option. If he wants to collect from his loyve's kids, he has to swear a first-hand shvuah to affirm that the money is owed to him. Ein gavel b'shvu. Hey chidami, what happened here? What's the case? The meis loyve b'chayim alfa. Right, when we speak about the father swearing, obviously he's around, right? So the loyve died b'chayim alfa while banker was still alive. So banker has to swear to the kids of the loyve, which enables them to collect from them. Now the Mishnah continues and says, well, that's specific to father. He always has to swear, but the kid of, right, the son of the banker, who's taking over that debt, taking over that claim from his father, when he approaches the Levi's kids, sometimes he'll have to swear. Shvuos HaYorshim, that's a second-hand shvuah. He can't swear a first-hand shvuah. Shvuos HaYorshim. And sometimes it's not required if there are Edim that, who were present when father passed away and he never said anything, like we had in the Mishnah. So actually, he confirmed that the debt was still outstanding. So in this case, we spare the kids the chiv shvur. Tony in the Brisa continues. Shaben, the son in this type of circumstance, the son of the banker, trying to collect from the sons of the loyve, goyve ben b'shvur ben shle b'shvur. Sometimes he has to collect with a shvur. Sometimes it's not required. Meaning, b'shvur, when is a shvur required? Shvuas yersh, that's a second-hand shvur. So clearly, he can proceed with the shvuas yershim, even though his father had a personal shvur incumbent upon him. So you see, it's not an issue. And what does shle b'shvur mean? Sometimes he doesn't even need a shvur. That's going to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the Mishnah said that in some cases, like if the Edom can attest to the fact that the father, as he was dying, declared that the money was still owing, then he doesn't have to swear. In any case, it's a kasha, because we see clearly that although father was required to make first-hand shvua, kid could just make a second-hand shvua in his place. Amar Rav Yosef, you're right, it's a good point, but actually this b'raisa is following a different shita. Hamani Beis Shammai, he's going like Beis Shammai, who have a unique approach to a debt which is recorded in a document. The Amri, they hold possession of document is like money in the bank. A document which is slated for collection, such as a loan document, such as a ksuba document, which we read as though it's been collected to a certain extent. The possessor of that document is deemed a mursak, in control, in possession of that potential collection of that money. So actually this pertains to a case in Misach HaSoita, the woman who was a Soita, her husband died before they had a chance to drink the waters, so we'll never know what would have happened. I mean, that abruptly aborts the process. You can't provide her the waters without the husband. So the question is, what happens to her ksuba claim? She wants her money. She says, I'm innocent, I would have drank the water, no problem. So there's really a suffix here, whether the money is owed to her, because perhaps she did sin and she would have been exposed as a, right? So the Kuntbe Shammai, she collects. She has a right to collect because she's not really being mitzi. She doesn't have to prove her case. She's moksuk. She has a shtar. It's like money in the bank, money in the pocket. So you have to pay her the money. Here as well, Bishami will hold that a fellow who's in possession of a shtar chayiv, his kids could just collect upon it. We don't care whether, they can't really duplicate his shvua. Who cares? There's a shtar here. Even though they're a banan, or masakim, before you collect from Yisrael, you have to swear. But it's considered mamon gamarhu, it's absolute money, it's money in the pocket, which you could just transfer to your kids, and they can pick up where you left off. Provided they do what's incumbent upon them, they do their shvua, whatever is in their ability to do, even if it's a second-hand shvua. That's Beis Shammai Shita, but according to Beis Hillel, we don't consider money in a shtar like money in the pocket. So it's not absolute money, it's not sure money. And since in this case, father can only access that money by making that first-hand shvua, and that the kids can't do. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we're stuck. They can't collect. Okay, so in summation, we have Yisayimim attempting to collect from other Yisayimim. The issue is that the banker himself had already been obligated, already been chayv to swear to Shimon's kids a personal shvua. And now he's no longer here. At most, kids can swear a second-hand shvua. As far as we know, a father is owed him shvuas hayoshim. Is that enough? Rabbi Shmuel say no. And you can't collect. Whereas Rabbi Lezer says you could. Ikla, Rav Nachman visited the town of Sura, and he had some visitors, very distinguished guests. Oyle Gabe, who came into him, Rav Chizda, Rabbi Rav Huna. Amrulay, they started a discussion about this topic. Lacey Mar, please be agreeable. Mar, the master, the Rebbe, Rav Nachman, Na'akru, Lahal, Rabbi Shmuel, let's cancel Rabbi Shmuel's, let's oppose that Shita, let's cancel that din. Let the Yisraelim collect. Amar Lucy says, Ichbili v'asoi, I traveled all this distance, Kolhani Parsi, all these miles, Leme'akru, Lahal, Rabbi Shmuel, just to cancel Rabbi Shmuel's halacha. So basically, it's not what I came for. Ella, rather, I'll grant you something. We're going to limit it. Okay? We're going to freeze it, so to speak. We'll keep Rav Shmuel's halacha, but only pertaining to the specific case that they spoke about. Since this is a tremendous chiddush, we're not going to expand it further to similar variations of that type of situation. We're going to keep it only to that specific case. Havu, prepare yourself, agree with me. Deloy, loy sevalo, not to add more variations to this case, not to expand it. So, in the classic Yisayimim from Yisayimim, yeah, they can't swear properly, they can't collect. But in a similar case, even though it's very similar, but if it's a bit different, we're not going to apply this stringency. Could go on, Mike, give me an example of a similar case, which is exempt. Damra Papa Pagimus Dari. A fellow has a loan document, but he admits that part of it was paid up. So, he is acknowledging an inaccuracy in the shtar. Halacha is, his shtar program requires a shvua. Before you can collect, even if they're both alive and well, you have to first swear to affirm the outstanding balance. Now let's say he passed away now. Okay, so now his kids would like to collect this money. Problem is, again, they can't speak firsthand. They could speak secondhand. The impression we got that this thing is outstanding, that the loan is still right active. So Apogim Shoru Mason passed away. Yershin, his kids, Ishbon Shvos Yershin, and it's enough for them to swear Ishvos Yershin and collect, even though technically they're not really duplicating father's shvur. That's enough. So in this case, we're not going to apply Rav and Shmuel's stringency. So it's only Yershim from Yershim in that case, but not in this case. Ha'ud HaShachav, there was a fellow who passed away, V'Shavak Arva. And he left kids, and an Arev, a co-signer, a guarantor to the loan. So now, a banker at this point also passed away. Banker's kids want to collect from the guarantor, from the Arev. And again, they can only do a Shvuas HaYershin, a second-hand Shvua. It's very similar to the Rav Shmuel's discussion, but it's slightly different. Nobody's collecting directly from Yershin, just from the Arev. So is this variation exempt from Rav Shmuel's halacha? Savar, Papalim Emar, yeah, perfect example of an exception. Hanam, here too, the Loy Laisif Alahu. We're not going to add, we're not going to cover this case and include it in the halacha of Rav Shmuel, because it's a slightly different variation. Amalei Rav Huna Yishul Ar Papa, no! Although it appears a bit different, but it's essentially the same exact type of case. Because ultimately, I mean, you're collecting from the Arev, I understand. You're not directly going to the Yisraim, so it looks different, but ultimately, who's going to pay out this money? Atu Arva Lav Basar Yasmi. Also, don't you realize that the Arev, the next thing he's doing, after paying out the debt, is going back to the Yisraelim to collect from them, so ultimately they're paying it out. So, essentially, the Yisraelim are collecting from the other Yisraelim. That's your classic Rav Shmuel case. And therefore, we can't allow it. How does Shachar, another fellow passed away, B'Shavak Acha, left behind a brother. Okay, no kids, just a brother to be Yerushim. Now he's going to try to collect from the Yisraelim on the other side. So once again, we figured, oh, this is a variation, which is exempt. Savar Rav Machamel Meimar, Hanami. This also falls under the Loy Loy Sivalahu, not to add, not to include more cases. Amar Rava, no. It sounds different, but it's very the same. Malish lepakadni abba. What difference does it matter whether it's the banker's kids coming to collect from the other Yisraelim by saying, well, our father never instructed us that the loan has been paid. So again, they're second-handing. Umalish lepakadni achi, whether it's the brother saying the same thing, well, my brother, deceased, never told me the loan was paid up. So basically, it's strikingly similar. Whether it's a kid or a brother, he's a yerush. The most he can do is a second-hand oath, which is not really duplicating the father's first-hand oath. So you can't collect from the borrower's kids. Amar Rav Chama, hash le'itmar hilchas. Now we don't really have a solid conclusion in terms of the halacha. Like Rabbi Shmuel, whether we follow Rabbi Shmuel or like Rabbi Lezer, know that we have a verdict like Rabbi Lezer. So which shita should we adopt? We're in limbo. So you do what you want. Hi Dayana. So a judge who follows Rabbi Shmuel, okay, that's acceptable. The Avad Rabbi Shmuel, Avad, done. Or if he chooses to go the Avad Rabbi Lezer, Avad, done deal. Amar Papa, Ishtar di Asmi. That's why if we have a Shtar of Yisayim, Loi Mikro Karim, we don't tear it up. Loi Gvir Magvin, nor do we collect with it because we're in limbo. Agvoi Loi Magvin, we don't allow to collect with it. The Limos for Lunk Rabbi Shmuel, maybe we pass like Rabbi Shmuel, we can't collect. In this type of case, where it's the sons of, collecting from the sons of. On the other hand, we don't tear it up, mikra loikarin lay, because it's really up to the bezin. The high dayana dav karbalezin of it, because ultimately if he adopts karbalezin, he collects with it. It's also acceptable. How dayana, there was a certain dayan, dav karbalezin, pasan karbalezin, to collect. Havatum rabbana b'masayid, there was a young Talmud Chacham in his town who challenged it. Amrali, he says, I see no igarta. My Rav, I'm about to, I'll get a letter from Eretz Yisrael. The less hilchas karbalezin, we don't pasan karbalezin, you can't do that. Amrali, he says, okay, chisaisi. We'll see, when you bring it, we'll worry about it then. Also, Gemeinde Rabbi Chama, so this time Chama approached Rabbi Chama to complain. Amar Lehi says, the dayan is right. Right? It's a toss-up, it's up to him. You can take either route. Amar Lehi, hi dayan, David Kerb Lezer, Avid, if you follow Rabbi Lezer, it's okay. Ve'elam Ishbayin, says the Mishnah. We have cases where you swear without any claim. A shutef, a partner, a sharecropper. He has to swear, and at this point, the Gemara figures, even in the absence of any claim against him. Why would he swear? Atu b'shiftoniaskin, who's speaking out silly people, swear for no reason? Hachikamer, the Mishnah means like this. Of course there's somebody requesting that they swear. Ve'ilu nishbon shle betanas bari. The opponent doesn't really have a definite claim. He can't really substantiate his claim. Elo betanas shema. He's speculating. You are my partner. There's some money missing. Perhaps was it... you that siphoned off that money? Hashutfin, my recent partners, sharecroppers. In order to collect the interest, to protect the interest of all parties involved, the Chachamim instituted a special allowance to impose a shvua even if an opponent doesn't have solid evidence. And one individual is called a Ben Bayis, he's the older brother running the show. After father's passing, they can swear him to vouch for his integrity while he was dealing with the business. Tana ben Bayis Shamar, we speak about a ben Bayis, loish nichas veis beragel, we're not speaking about a fellow who's coming in and out of the house, a visitor, that's not what we're talking about. We're speaking about a caretaker, lo machnes le payalin, mois le payalin, he's hiring workers, etc. Machnes le payreis, mois le payreis, he's bringing the merchandise in and out, he's dealing and wheeling. Oh my shnohani, why are these different? Meaning, why do they swear without a solid claim against them? Mishum de moira b'heter, de moira heter. They excuse themselves. Look, we're working so hard. We're taking care of the family. We're such loyal partners and sharecroppers. And you know what? He might be tempted to siphon off a little here and there. So we put him up on the stand, vouch for your integrity, and then you can go. I'm Rav Yosef from Yoram Nachman. Provided the money, the amount in question amounts to at least 2 kesef, which is the minimum with respect to the standard shvuah of the Torah. So you can't just... speak about pennies. It has to be a substantial claim. Command Kishmoel. So the minimum is 2 kesef. That seems like Shita Shmoel, who says that, in fact, the minimum claim to trigger a shvua is 2 kesef. But Reb Chiya had a right to Rav way back in the beginning, a couple of days ago, beginning of this whole last parak, actually. Rav held that the initial claim must be at least 2 kesef plus a pruta, to allow the denial to consist of two kesef. And you're telling me it's enough for the entire claim to be two kesef? Ema kfiras tana kirav. We'll revise it. In fact, the denial here has to consist of at least two kesef, like Rav. Cholko shut maris. So as long as they're in business, they're partners, you can impose the shvua. But once you split up and you go separate ways, you can no longer come back and put him on the stand. Iboilu. We know that there's something called a Gilgul Shavua. In fact, the Mishnah told us that even once they split up and went their separate ways, you can still reimpose the Shavua if you have another excuse to impose a Shavua on him. So once you get that other Shavua on the table, you can be Megalgal Shavua. You can add, you can include, you can drag in this sort of pseudo claim as well. Swear that when you were my partner, you were honest. So there's a concept called Gilgal Shavua. Certainly if it's a Shavua Dei Raisa, you can Megalgal all types of Shavuos. What about Iboilu? The question was, Malo Galgal B'Drabonon. Suppose you don't really have a Shavua Dei Raisa to swear. It's only Shavua D'Rabbonon. Okay, so let's say one of these oaths discussed in our Mishnah, which are Shavuos D'Rabbonon. So once he's swearing that, did Chachamim allow Gilgal to apply even by Shavuos D'Rabbonon? Perhaps it's only by Shavuos D'Raisa? Or shall we say, no, when the Rabbanan instituted a Shavuos D'Rabbonon, it's Kein D'Raisa. They modeled, they followed, you know, similar parameters as Shavuos D'Raisa. Just like you can be Gilgal, you can bundle up by Shavuos D'Raisa, same by the Rabbanan. Iboilu ma'u l'galg b'drabban. Toshma, let's try to prove it from a b'raisa. Lava himen erev shvius. Shimon borrowed $100 from Reuven before Shemitah came around. L'metzoy shvius nasa l'shuta v'yoris. After Shemitah passed, he happened to partner with him. Or became his sharecropper. Now, Reuven has two issues. Two reasons to impose a shvua on his good friend Shimon. First of all, vouch for your integrity in terms of our business dealings. And secondly, what happened to the $100 that I lent you? $100 to me? Never lent me a penny. He's totally denying that. So what he'd like to do, Reuven, is to instigate a shvua on account of the partnership issue. And on account of that, he's going to bundle up the other claim as well and include that claim too. Ein Megalgal, you can't add another Shavua on account of the denial in terms of the loan. You know why? Because Shemitah wiped it out. That happened before Shemitah. Time of the love of Mehemen Erev Shviz. So let's make a dig. The Brisa implies to us that, and the reason why, he can no longer refer to the loan, because it was before Shemitah. The Asir Shviz Afkante. Shviz came and canceled it. So it's a non-issue. Let's make a deal. Were the same exact circumstance to take place during a regular year, without Shemitah involved. Hoshnash Sharshne Shavua. But on another year of the 7-year cycle, meaning without Shemitah involved, it would work. Since he's swearing for the Shutav issue, which is the Shavua D'Rabbanon, you can be Megalgal and you could add and include another Shavua as well. Apparently, Gilgal applies even to Shavua D'Rabbanon. Loi, Teima, no, don't make that diuk. Her, Shar, Shnei, Shavua, Megalgal, and the Gilgal is applicable if it happens another year. No, Eleima, rather, we're going to say like this. The diuk, the implication here is that only in that case doesn't it work. But Nasa Le Shutav Ayoris Erev Shvius. Suppose he partnered with him before Shemitah. And the alleged loan took place after Shemitah. So now, where's my money? $50 I owe you, the other $50 I don't. That's a Moedim Mikzas, which would actually trigger a Shavua Dei Raisa, classic Shavua Dei Raisa Moedim Mikzas. So now, he says, one second, let's not stop here. I have other business with you. What happened to the partnership of before Shemitah? I want to include that as well. You can do that. Megalgal, and the chiddush here is, even though Shemitah passed you by, it doesn't matter because the chiyuv to swear on account of being a shutav is not is not on account of borrowing money. Shemitah only obliterates loans. Here it's a concern that you may have stolen from me. Shemitah doesn't cancel an obligation to pay back stolen goods or stolen money. So yeah, you can bundle up that Shvuah as well into the current Shvuah. If you're swearing already for Moedim Mikzas, I want you to swear that you were honest in our business dealings when you were my partner. So that's the diik. That's the case. That's the unsaid case in the Brisa. Not your case, which would prove to you that a Shvuah Derabanan allows for Gilgal. No, we're speaking about a standard Moedim Mikzas. And of course, Gilgal applies there. It's a Shvuah Derabanan. This case, that's not implied. That's the next case in the Brisa. Habeh Diktanan, the Brisa clearly speaks about your case as well. Nasli Shutta Vayaris Erish Shvias. He became a shutaf before Shemitah, now it's after Shemitah, and he lent him money, and he's a Moedim Mikzas. Ula Moedzoi Shviz, Love Amenu, and after Shemitah he barred, and he partially admits to that loan. Mugalglan, since he has to swear, Shvodai Reis, you can add the other Shvua as well. That's a clear halacha in the Brais. So, in the beginning of the Brais, we can go back to our Diuk. Because you thought the diak was this case. This case is clearly articulated in the Brisa. There's no need for an implication. No need to imply this case. It's clear in the Brisa. So if there's any implication, any diak to be learned from the first case, is that you can be megalgal by Shvuah Derabanan. Why? Because the case was as follows, right? He borrowed before Shemitah, totally denied it. After Shemitah became a shutev, Brisa says you can't add the claim in terms of the denied loan because it's already Shemitah. Shemitah took care of it. What does that infer? What does that imply for us? That if there would be no Shemitah in the on the horizon, Shemitah would not be a factor here, then he could be Megalgal. So you see that the current Shvuah Derabanan allows for Gilgal. Shmamina Megalgal, Derabanan Shmamina. That's a good proof. That you can Megalgal even into a Shvuah Derabanan. Amar Rav Kuna. Yep, Lekol Megalgal. Even Shvuah Derabanan allows for Gilgal, except there's one exception. Chutz Misachar. Odo Dechacham Olawai. Worker who claims he wasn't paid to swear and collect. That's not it's not even a classic Shvuah Derabanan. If you recall, the Gemara told us that we're concerned about the Baal HaBayis being distracted, busy with his other workers, and overlooking his obligation to this worker. So chances are it was unpaid. But in order to appease the Baal HaBayis, make him feel at ease, less than feel like he was shortchanged, the Sacher will make a Shvuah. But it's sort of a by-the-way Shvuah just to make the Baal HaBayis happy. Here, says the Gemara, it doesn't even have status of a standard Shvuah Derabanan, and you can't do Gilgal on that. You can't bundle up and add stuff to it. It's a standalone Shvuah. She'im Megalgan, we don't do Gilgal in that case. Rav Chisda Amar, he says basically the same way, same thing, but using different words, regarding all types of shvois, we don't go easy, which means to say we allow for Gilgal, we can expand and bundle all types of shvois and cover it into the bundle. Chutz misachar, except for the shvuah of the sachar, which is not really your standard shvuah, and makilin, we go easy there, we don't allow for bundling and adding more obligations and more shvois upon the opponent. Might be now, any difference between using the word lakol megalgalin or using the word lekoyle and makilin, it's pretty much the same point. It could be, now there's a slight difference. Here comes the question. You can do Gilgal Shvuah. So you have to swear to me, I'd like to add more and more and more. You can do that. But suppose I'm not smart enough to, not educated enough, I'm not aware of my rights, my ability to add Shvuah. Do the Bezdin inform me of my rights? Do they educate me about the Gilgal option? Interesting question, right? Are they meant to tell me, to help me in that regard? Or, look, if you demand it, fine, but we're not going to help. So according to Rav Nachman, yeah, they get involved. Lakol Megalgalin, Bezdin does initiate. They do inform the Baldin, the plaintiff, of his rights to be Megalgal, whereas Rav Chizah says, Lakol Megalgalin, we're not easy, meaning to say that we never initiate anything. If you want to add, if you want to expand your shvuah, gesunte, but we're not going to be the ones to volunteer that information. The Mishnah concludes, v'ashviz mishametes es ha-shvuah. one has an obligation to swear to his opponent to absolve himself from any monetary payment. And comes Shemitah, just as Shemitah cancels debts, it cancels Shvuah obligations, which were caused by debts. Because in effect, a Shvuah is in lieu of payment, right? So just as Shemitah cancels the payment obligation, it cancels the obligation to swear, to absolve yourself of that payment. But not immediately. How do we know this is true? Perhaps once you have a chi of Shvuah, that outlasts Shemitah. It's not really money, it's a chi of swear. Amar av gidlam, amar av av apasam, makro, v'zeh dvar Shemitah. So we have a drasha. Shemitah affects even dvar, even words. Even Shvuah, which are verbal obligations. Afilu divar m'shametes, hadun lachal nishpah. Okay, so let's do a brief recap. We discussed Machlekes Rabbi Rabbanan regarding the dispute between the grocer and his customer, banker and his customer. What if father was meant to swear firsthand to the Yisoyimim, now he passed away, can kids just get away with the Shvuas HaYorshim, which in effect is a second-hand Shvuah? Rabbi Shmuel say no, they can't collect. Rabbi Lezer says they could. Rabbi Ami had this sort of compromise. Rabbi Nachman was not really sure how to paskin. He didn't hold the compromise, but he didn't conclude in terms of the two outstanding opinions. We had several rais, which were answered. Umar concluded pretty much the die, and it's up to him to go which way he wants. A shutif would have to swear if there's a taina, even a taina's shema, provided it has a minimum of two kesef in terms of his denial. The reason for this shvuah is that they're moira heter. These individuals are involved in running the business, the shutuf, the aris, the ben abayis. Concerned that they may have taken the liberty to bonus themselves. And we concluded that even a shvuah, the rabbanan allows for gilgul shvuah, and that shmita is meshamet, even a shvuah. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabbah.